Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni. I'm joined, as always, by Cody Thompson, my co-host. How are you today, Cody? I'm looking for a good vocabulary word.
Swell. How does swell
work?
You are
swell. You're a swell guy.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, glad you're swell today. How are you doing today, Tracy? Tracy Noble?
I am incredible today.
She's in swell and incredible. Matt? Nod of the head. Matt,
thumbs up.
Matt's got it. Good too. Okay, Cody, what are we going to talk about today?
Our fascination with Theranos.
That's right. We weren't sure what to title this, but we figured everybody knows about Theranos now. There's a television show about it, a series that's fascinating. There's a documentary. There's a podcast. There's the book. And of course, this is the story of Elizabeth Holmes, the young lady who, well, she started this company and got caught not telling the truth, and it is fascinating. But really, we're not just going to talk about Theranos today. We're going to talk about a few other TV shows that are out right now that are similar. One is called We Crashed, and that's the story of WeWork and the CEO named Adam Neumann. And another one called Super Pumped, which is about Uber, the car service, and its leader, Travis Kalanick. And they all have something in common. And what the real issue behind all of their stories is, regardless of the salaciousness of all the things they did, it really comes down to they had the wrong motive for being a leader in the first place. And that's what we want to talk about today, the importance of having the right motive as a leader. We have a book called The Motive. And so that's our conversation today, Cody.
Yeah, and it really is fascinating that so many of us, I mean, these are stories of some of the most like tremendous falls, like the downfalls of leaders of unicorn type companies. And what we do is we're addicted to sort of these podcasts and these shows that depict these unicorns sort of falling from grace in fantastic fashion. And what tends to happen is that addiction, that obsession, there's so many people out there that are watching shows and hearing information or content on really bad leadership.
Right. And I think we might be missing the point, because the real issue comes about at the very beginning of all these shows when you see that the people's motive is to be important and famous and rich. And I put rich at the end of that list because I don't think it's primarily greed.
Right.
I think these people want to be famous and important. And if that's why somebody becomes a leader, then they're probably going to put themselves in a position to do the wrong things because they're motivated by hubris and ego. And that's the wrong motivation for being a leader in the first place. And so that's kind of what we want to say here, is that sometimes in these movies, and I am shocked at how many people have watched these movies. Sometimes in these movies, I think these people actually kind of get held up in a positive way for their hubris. And it's like, well, and then they went too far. But frankly, right, from the very beginning, they were going too far. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. You know, Pat, it's funny. I've probably gone with you to maybe 100 speeches. I don't know what the number is, but my favorite one, we went to a large leadership event that had simulcast all over the United States. And the tagline of the event was, everybody has influence. And so it was this idea that like, oh, hey, we're trying to build up. There's, you know, 7,000 people in this room, and you started your talk on the motive and said, everybody has influence and they probably shouldn't. And I love that, because it was really about like, that's true. All we hear from the time you're little is go be a leader, go out and do everything you can to have as much influence over people as you can. And instead they need to hear an entirely different message that is, boy, there are a lot of people out there who shouldn't have influence over them, and they're actually dangerous that they have influence over others, and you need to be wary of them.
Yeah, I had forgotten about that, but it's true. I think that somebody should have sat down with this Travis, Adam, and Elizabeth and said, no, you need to go do some serious therapy and deal with your wounds before you ever take a position of influence and leadership, because it's going to hurt you, and it's going to hurt your employees, and it's going to hurt your customers if you do this for the wrong reason. And I'm not sure that the people who made those movies, the way they were put together, I'm not sure that they highlighted that enough. I almost think that there's so many other leaders out there who just never got caught or never had to do something so badly, but could have been in the same position. And I think this needs to be a real warning about leadership, mm-hmm, rather than just a tale about breaking the law. What were you going to say, Tracy?
So why are we always misdiagnosing the issue? It's so interesting because it seems so clear, but why is it that so many people get this wrong?
That's a great question. I think that we're kind of fascinated with hubris. Mm. I think that, you know, I look at Tiger Woods, you know, and I think of Tiger Woods, what a rough go this guy has had. And I remember him being on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson when he was like 4 years old, or actually, I think he was 2.5 or 3 playing golf. And I remember thinking throughout his career, like, what a rough go this guy's had. I mean, a lot of problems, a lot of pressure. We've seen, and all very public. And yet, people are still, I think, thinking, well, I would trade my life for his because at least he's famous and at least he's successful and people cheer for him. But I think it should be a warning. It's like, if you are that single-minded in being the best at something, that's actually unhealthy. And so I think people have a hard time setting these idols aside and saying nobody should want to be like them.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think there is something, obviously, when you take a story and you turn it into entertainment television, which is like what a TV show is or a movie is, they sort of change the narrative a little bit to make it look a little more sexy or a little more appealing. You know, Tiger Woods is an example of a guy who his career is basically him out there in front of millions of people. The people who built these companies like Theranos and WeWork, tens of thousands of people's lives were impacted and changed because they had the wrong motive. In a negative way, that like people got fired, lost their jobs, were forced to do things outside of their own character.
One guy committed suicide.
Exactly.
An employee at Theranos committed suicide, and it was very clear. And I've read the book, I've seen the documentary, I've seen the movie. It's very clear it was because of the pressure they put on him to be dishonest.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, you have this concept that you've said, Pat, is it's related to the motive in the sense that there are two types of motives that you lay out in your book, The Motive, which is reward-centered, what do I get from being a leader, and responsibility-centered, which is I feel responsible for this opportunity, for this role in leadership, for the people that are under my care. And I think that there's, you know, this obvious, if you start with the wrong motive, and we talk about how you don't, it's not binary. It's not like you're born one way or you're born the other way, but you have this concept called management is a ministry. And if you don't think that when people are under your care, that that's actually a gift, that you have a innate responsibility to steward those people's lives, where they're spending 8 hours or 10 hours a day at your office or with your name on their business card. And that affects the way that they go home at night and how they treat their kids and how they treat their spouse and their friends and family, then you probably shouldn't be a leader. And it was very clear that all three people you mentioned had no regard for the people under their care. They just wanted more fame, more importance, more riches.
Yeah. You know, I have to say the thing I liked best about all of these shows, I haven't watched them all the way through, but I did watch the Theranos one, which is called The Dropout, is that I did develop a sense of sadness for them. Right. And I did feel for them. And I also came to see that all of us have a potential susceptibility to this. In other words, I felt a lot of grace for this woman and what she went through. And so I think that's important that we know that, oh my gosh, you know, what do they say? But for the grace of God, there go I. I think it should be a cautionary tale about the early reasons she did what she did, not a cautionary tale about the tactical mistakes she made when she lied a little bit here and then lied a big bunch here and did all these other things. I think you got to go back to the beginning and say, you got to feel sorry for this young girl who was so broken that she had the wrong motive in the first place. And I just hope that the people that are watching this get that, because that's really the lesson. Because, you know, there's CEOs out there who have never gotten caught or maybe never broken the law, but they're really famous and successful. And I've worked with many of them. They are really unhappy, broken people. And if we are holding them up as examples of what we want for ourselves in our lives, we are going to be replicating this sadness for years.
And I do think that's one of the dangers here is like young people or people who have an entrepreneurial sort of spirit that want to start a company, they see these stories of these like rocket ships that just like start a company and they go into the stratosphere in terms of the success and wealth. And they think, oh, that's what I want to do. And there's, we need to be really careful about the type of leaders or, I, you know, like the people that we're holding up as leaders in our society or with our kids to say, hey, even though that person's story was kind of incredible in a certain way, or even fascinating in a certain way, that's not the example of what we need in society.
You know, it's so interesting. I think that's what scares me most about all these shows that are coming out now, because so many people, and I know you guys have experienced this as well, will watch those shows and they will see visionaries. They'll watch Elizabeth and they'll say,
think that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. That terrifies me for our future, because yeah. I do know that so many, especially young people, watch this and think, I can do that. I can be that person. And it's the exact opposite.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, Tracy? That's a great point, that what you see in those shows is they change their visions quite a lot. And they'll go back and tell the story like, well, she wanted to change the way blood was processed and people, but it's like, well, actually before that, she came up with a different idea that wasn't. And then when they get to that point, they say, oh, she grew up always wanting to help people with their blood problems. Mm-hmm. And the WeWork guy, he was much more passionate about getting famous and rich. And then he'd say, yeah, I'm passionate about this. Oh, now I'm going to be passionate about this. Mm-hmm. And then when he finally settles on one, they talk about it like it's the purest motivated, you know, his dream. And I think we're retrofitting something to make it look better than mm-hmm. it really was.
You know, the other thing that sort of comes to mind as we talk about this, and I've seen it both in the media, but in real life stories of businesses that we've worked with, is there's a really like interesting distinction that I feel like we need to make between a founder, a person with an idea who starts a company, and a leader. Because they're not the same thing all the time. Now, certain founders can be leaders, but what more often than not, what's happening is a 22-year-old with an idea starts a company, and by the time they're 28, they're the CEO of a large organization. And that is not the way that we should be like growing leadership in our companies. Like a founder with the humility to say, hey, I had a great idea, and now the company is at a size where maybe I'm not the right person to lead this. The problem is that I love, like, you endorsed a guy's book that we love, Pat, and the endorsement said, the best CEO you've never heard of. And here's innately the problem, which is you don't hear about the great CEOs that have the right motive, who care about their people the right way, because they don't have the desire to get famous. So it's this sort of paradoxical.
Almost like, by definition, you're right.
Catch 22 is, the right CEOs, the right leaders don't desire to get famous. They desire to serve their people. And as a result, we don't have as many stories of them in the limelight where we can show my daughter and my son, hey, this is the type of person you should grow up and want to be like.
Right. You know what's interesting? I was thinking about Tiger Woods because, you know, I root for the guy in many ways. But you know what I was kind of hoping? Like, he got in this terrible car accident and there were pills involved. And I don't know what it was. It could have been pain stuff. And God bless him and everybody else who struggles with those things. But I would love a redemption story that didn't involve golf. Right. I would love a redemption story where he goes, man, I've got my life together and now I'm living for the right things and now I'm doing something. It shouldn't be like, is he ever going to win a tournament again? Yeah. And if Elizabeth Holmes, a redemption story for her would be, I paid my dues and the punishment, and I came back and realized what my life is really all about. It's not like, is she going to start another company after she's allowed totally. To in 10 years? That shouldn't be what it's about. It should be about finding peace and becoming the person God made them to be, not continuing to pursue, because otherwise we'll just look forward to the sequel when she does it again.
Yeah.
And people will all watch that sequel again, and I don't think that's good. And so I think what I like to do is bring this into some practical lessons, you know, about like, so what do people take away from this? Because it's interesting to watch those movies or read those books or listen to a podcast about them, but what should we take away from it? And I think there's a couple of things. One is, if you are a leader and you're listening to this, go purify your motives and your intentions right now. Stop and say, hey, maybe my motives have been a little too much about me and about filling a gap. Let me purify that right now. Don't wait to do it. Do it right now and cast aside any of the pride-driven or wound-driven motives that you might have before it hurts anybody else or yourself any more than it might have already have. If you've done things that you wish you hadn't, just stop now, forgive yourself, and go ask others. Say, hey, you know something? I think I kind of did some of the wrong things for the wrong reasons. and just go forward with better intention. So that's the first thing. Catch yourself right now and say, thank God I haven't done something that I'm going to go to prison for or cause somebody to hurt themselves. And stop that right now. That's a practical thing. The second one I'd say is, if you're working in an organization that's being propelled by a really unhealthy obsession from a leader who wants to be important and famous and rich, stop and think about what this might be doing to you and consider either helping that leader realize the collision course that he or she is on, or perhaps consider getting out before it gets any worse. So I really want people to listen to this and say, what does this have to do with me? Well, check your intentions if you're a leader and protect yourself and maybe be a hero to the leader who might need you to step up and remind them about what the right motive is.
That's right. I love those, Pat, because the first one is it reinforces the idea that we all have a tendency to slip in our motivation. So if you're a leader, like, boy, there are times where your intentions are pure, but there are other times where we have a tendency to slip in our motivation. And all you can do is, you know, turn around, ask for forgiveness and move in the right direction. And the second one, I remember like the documentary on Theranos, when people got more and more successful in the company, they were asked to do increasingly more and more things that were against their character. And just like, think about how much better it would be for you in your life to walk away from that than to be more successful in that and be forced with decisions from an unhealthy leader that will eventually compromise your own character and morality.
Yeah. Think about how regretful at first some people who might have left that company because they thought it was funky early on, when their friends were like, oh no, we're going public and we're going to make tons of money and we're all going to be rich. And them thinking, oh, I missed the boat on that. I once worked at a company that I thought was pretty dark. And I left fairly early on. I remember I cashed out what little stock I had and I bought my wife's wedding ring. And people were like, you know, if you had stayed there, you'd have made all this money. And then I realized that I was so glad that I got out when I did, because no amount of money or success is worth, you know, letting it slowly, and we're all susceptible to this, slowly corrupt us and let us justify behaviors that we know in our hearts aren't good for us or anybody else. So having the courage to do that is easier to say than it is to do. But man, I bet there are people who watched that movie who quit that company early on and said, oh, thank you, God, that I got out when I did. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is, hey, when you're looking for a job, really take a look at the culture. Really, really understand the culture. Is it based in humility, hard work, and emotional intelligence? Or is it based on something a little more sinister and probably going to lead to something bad? I think it's a cautionary tale to people looking for work right now. All right, I think that's it for today. Our fascination with Theranos, it is fascinating. And let's draw the right conclusions from it. All right, Tracy, Cody, Matt, thanks for everything. Everybody, thanks for listening to us. I hope this was interesting. We'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.